Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting one of the best bars in the area, and today we salute Ray's Evergreen in St. Charles. Text Sam to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam's summer cooler, maybe a fall cooler now. Text and stop into Ray's Evergreen in St. Charles tonight. It's a Victory Monday brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. And remember, we're on Twitch, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app and search ESPN 1000 Chicago. And Carmen and Yurko are extended today.
Extended.
We're going all the way till 2, and then it's Waddle and Sylvie. We'll cross-talk with the boys a little bit right before 2 o'clock and have some fun with them. We're taking a bunch of phone calls to talk a lot of Bears. We'll sprinkle in a little baseball as we've hit the postseason. The White Sox have to go on the road to Oakland, which is disappointing. We'll discuss that a little bit later. The Cubs will stay home for the surprising Marlins. How about the Miami Marlins making the playoffs?
They made it.
With some really good starting pitching, actually. Yeah. Sixto Sanchez, man. Like, he's, you know, not only does he have one of the coolest names, but
he's
living up to the hype.
Big bonus for Jeter.
I would think so.
You know that. It's coming down the pipeline.
Yurko and I were trying to watch the highlight again. Now, this doesn't really matter, so it's kind of minutiae because the Bears won. But had the rally come up a little bit short, Yurko and I we both noticed something on Atlanta's first play of the game, first possession of the game, and that was the long throw to Calvin Ridley. And it sure looked like Calvin Ridley may have, as he reached for the pylon,
lost control of the ball
and had the ball go into the end zone and out of bounds, which would be, I hate the rule, but it's a touchback.
Right.
That would be Bears football. I think Atlanta knew they got up to the line so quick and they ran a play. I don't think they wanted the Bears ample time to get a look.
In the middle of highlights being shown, you know, by Fox, you could hear the audio in the background that, you know, blue 18, they were trying to get a quick one off. They ran a running play so you couldn't take a look at it.
Yurko and I were watching again, and it is just so hard to tell. You don't really get, you need the end zone angle
from behind. And they cut off on the play.
Yeah. And you really can't see, but Yurko tweeted about it yesterday, and I retweeted it, and I said, I thought the exact same thing. I thought, are they going to throw a flag and look at it? Yeah. Is there anybody in the Bears replay booth buzzing to Nagy right now saying, wait a minute, our ball?
And the official in the corner was backing off because the action was coming his way, and I have a feeling he got lost in the moment, and that was the least of his concerns, was the fact that the football was lost. He marked him out of bounds when he never stepped out of bounds. And he certainly didn't step out of bounds at the 1 yard line where they marked it.
No.
If he was going to step out, it would have been at the 3 or 4 yard line. Yeah. So that was a sketchy call from the jump.
So it doesn't really matter, though.
Right.
It doesn't matter,
but it's something we noticed.
I'll give you a couple of stats here, and then it's back out to the phones. I tweeted these earlier today. When we say this is improbable, folks, believe us. This is improbable, everybody. For the second time in 3 games, the Bears rally with a huge fourth quarter comeback, right? Coming into this season, the Bears had found themselves going into the fourth quarter of a game down by 16 points or more 145 times. This is a stat that actually goes back to 1940. Okay, this is as far back as this particular stat goes in the Pro Football Reference database, Yurk. So it's not franchise history, actually. It's back to 1940, though, so it's plenty of data. 145 times the Bears were down 16 points or more to start the fourth quarter. Their record in those games was 1-144. They'd won exactly once. It was 1998 against the Detroit Lions. One time in 145 tries. Do you got that, folks? The Bears have done it twice in 3 games.
It's improbable.
This season. It is beyond improbable.
Right.
Since 1940, NFL teams with a lead of 16 points or more to start the fourth quarter are 3,682 and 39-4. That is a .989 winning percentage. Or put another way, let's round up. 99 times out of 100, NFL teams win those games. The Bears have stunned the Lions and Falcons in 3 weeks with comeback wins like that. To say this is the most unlikely, improbable 3-0 start to a football season ever is not a stretch. It is not an exaggeration. It is a statistical fact. How they're 3-0 is beyond most of us, but they are.
It's a miracle.
It is a complete miracle.
And the fact that Nick Foles is the starting quarterback after not having a preseason where anybody could judge whether he was or was not the quarterback, and you get him in game three and he won the game the way he did, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle, Yerk.
It's a football miracle.
It's a Festivus. It's a Festivus miracle.
Let's go to phones, Carm.
Shoelaces is on the south side.
Oh.
A Shoeless Joe. Now we've found a Shoelaces.
Shoelaces.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, I just heard that stat, what you just said. And you know what? I was shocked to hear that the Bears only won one time, down 16 points. Now, the schedule is going to get a little rough. Now, one question I want to ask you, too. Which quarterback get credit for the win when you talk about career? Do you want to be the starting quarterback, or will folks get credit for this win?
Which quarterback gets the credit for the win? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Like in the stat sheet, Trubisky started the game. He doesn't get credit for the win. They were losing, right, Yerk? Is that what you're wondering?
No,
Trubisky doesn't get credit for. How do they record that in the official stat, Yerk? Like Trubisky started the game, the Bears won. He doesn't get credit for a win, though. Does he?
I don't know exactly how it works. If you're losing when you went out, you shouldn't get credit for the win.
Yeah, as
a starter.
Right.
And Nick Foles should be credited for the win. But, you know, they
got
quarterback records. But, you know, the games start, and they usually put in a Pro Football Reference under there.
Right.
The games you start, what the record is. So it might go toward Trubisky's account.
I don't know that.
As a game won, and you come in as a reliever, you don't get it as your game started, what your record is.
I never really thought about that.
It's only record as a starter. And I'm only going by what I've read with Pro Football Reference.
Gotcha. Cortez is in Lansing on ESPN 1000. Hey, Cortez.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. First time being able to actually get through to you guys, so I want to jump right in and get right to it.
Welcome aboard.
All right. Appreciate it. Let's go back to the Detroit game with Mr. Trubisky. He threw a pass into the end zone to Robinson. Robinson was actually being held. His right arm was being held. We never get calls from the officials. Trubisky could have – his stats could be a little better if he had a little more help. However, Foles is the guy. This is the reason why. Mitch kills the defense. Too many three and outs. Too many open receivers that's missed. Too many times he's not going to his second and third reads. Foles is a veteran. He's won a Super Bowl. All of those things that I just mentioned that Trubisky can't do, Foles can do them. And the defense can actually rest. How about the defense get some rest and all of these three and outs don't happen? How about they actually get some points on the board? Okay, we got to get points on the board because guess what? We don't have a kicker. So if you're leaving sixes out there, you're not going to get threes either. That's all I got, guys.
Cortez, thanks, man. Appreciate it. I don't know if
in the first quarter, the Bears D had plenty of rest. The Bears went on a long drive.
Two long drives.
They had a little one. And their Atlanta's drive was three plays. It was a touchdown.
The Bears
then
had the ball
Bears
for 11 minutes.
The Bears offense was out there, yes. So
in the first quarter. 11.
There's plenty of rest to be had, but I understand your three and outs in his lack of being able to do what he does. The best thing Cortez said was he is a competent NFL quarterback. You can visibly see the difference when he's there. And his receivers were excited. Yes, they were. The team became excited. They all kind of, because he started to become a little bit more successful.
Can he do it week in and week out?
That's going to be the test.
Why would Nagy not commit to him? Just because it's game day and he, you know, was happy with the win and didn't want to deal with, you know.
Maybe. You've only got so much time in that Zoom meeting that you're going to have anyway. You don't want to go crazy. Okay, sit down. Get him into the room and maybe explain. You know, I don't think you need an explanation for Trubisky. You just say, this is why I did it. And this is what he's doing that you're not doing. He didn't overthrow Anthony Miller.
No.
He didn't overthrow
Ted Ginn.
Yeah, Teddy Ginn. He didn't overthrow these plays. He did underthrow a couple of balls. Also with Javon Wims and Mooney. Guys, the back shoulder throw, if you're even, he's throwing a back shoulder. That's where it's coming. You've got to know that as a receiver. Mooney made an adjustment and came back. Wims never made the adjustment. You got to know if you're even with the guy, it's coming back shoulder. You've got to be aware of that. So that's going to come this week also. I expect to see a lot more back shoulder throws because the Bears receivers aren't always winning either.
Greg on Twitter says, guys, please talk about Montgomery running like a man in the fourth quarter. I tweeted at one point yesterday, the guy runs angry. You know, it wasn't a great game for Montgomery. And a lot of the, if you look at the final stats, it's a little skewed by Mitch's 45-yard run.
Right.
You know, they still average like 5.5 yards a carry, but obviously when you pop a 45-yarder, that makes a difference. Montgomery runs angry. He does not go down. That was the best attribute about him coming out of college, and we're seeing it come to fruition so far in the NFL. He can take a hit and keep going.
He also is victimized by a couple real negative plays. -7 on a run where somebody came unblocked up the middle.
Correct.
Saw white hair turning around trying to chase the guy down. It would kind of lead me to believe it could have been white hair that missed the block on that one. Also a -3 on the sidelines that looked like he was going to be down for about -8 and found a way to break out and actually gain 5 yards just to make it a -3-yard run. You get victimized by negative yardage. All the good stuff you do, you end up getting victimized by. Hey, you're going to need more of them with Tariq Cohen down with an injury. So guess what you're going to see a little bit more of? You're going to see more David Montgomery.
I don't think the Bears have confirmed that yet, but they were telling everybody after the game. I mean, they fear a torn ACL. Yeah, it sucks for Cohen.
They did it all. They did the Lockman's test, which you test for the ACL, the pivot shift.
That sucks.
The anterior drawer test. It was all done, Carm.
Yeah.
The pivot shift is the one that gives it to you. That's your telltale sign.
And it takes away one of their offensive weapons. I mean, yeah, I think people know how we feel about Tariq Cohen.
He only touched the ball 6-7 times a game. That's it.
You know, but
they were impactful yesterday.
Absolutely.
I mean, he had the nice draw play. He had a little bit of a pass play where he gained some positive yardage.
Most of the time they are. But he's only about a 7-10 touch a game kind of guy. But most of the time they are impactful. And it does take one of their weapons away, so that's unfortunate. Let's go to our buddy FedEx Harold in Skokie. What's up, Harold?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Good. So what really surprised me is that, you know, the Bears being 3-0, you know, you would have a good, consistent quarterback, right? But being 3-0 and, you know, subbing in, you know, for a new quarterback, or excuse me, for Nick Foles, you know, like, that just shows me that, okay, like, the Bears are hungry to win, you know, they don't believe in Mitch. Now, what I realize about the stats, like, if you look at Mitch's stats before the game, after he got actually – like, they benched him. Nick Foles came in and, scored 3 touchdowns, more yards. And at the end of the day, I feel like the defense just woke up and just were, like, hungry to win this game. So I want to hear your thoughts about, A, the defense, how they stepped up. Because to me, after the second half, like, when they saw Nick Foles making these touchdowns, hey, you know what? They woke up and they were hungry to win. But thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, FedEx Harold. We appreciate it.
I think there was a little bit of energy sparked into the room.
Yeah.
I do. There was a little energy sparked in. The touchdown, the Robinson that was taken away, I think they were like, whoa, wait, what do we've got something. Even though it's taken away from us, this guy's going to bring us something here. And, you know, he threw the ball to Jimmy Graham and missed Jimmy Graham a couple of times in the field.
Badly.
But when Jimmy Graham came here, what did I tell you?
Red zone.
He's an
addition.
Why was
he not on
the
field in the 2-point conversion, by the way, after his touchdown?
And he caught the touchdown. Maybe he needed a breather. He's old. He's older, I should
like,
say.
That's the guy you want on your 2-point try for sure, you know? Jimmy Graham in the red zone is still proving his worth. You're right about that.
Absolutely.
So maybe that's one we can not you know, we can kind of give Ryan Pace a break a little. Although you sort of feel like he was bidding against himself. I mean, was there really a need to pay Jimmy Graham what they paid him? I guess it doesn't matter if
listen, Ryan, if that's the worst he does is pay some other guy a little bit of too much money and the guy's going to score 10 to 12 touchdowns this year in the red zone. Which is the reason he was brought in here, to make your red zone a little bit more profitable, to score touchdowns instead of trying to miss field goals all the time. I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, I guess you deal with it.
Pay
somebody on Twitter said, ask Yurik, why so little Cole Kmet? Only about 30% of the snaps yesterday.
I think you're going to slowly but surely get a little bit of more. Yeah, it's early, guys.
Demetrius Harris had more
snaps.
3 games
in. Guys, there's 13 more games. And let's face it, going from college to the pros is not the easiest adjustment all the time.
All right, we'll take more of your phone calls. FedEx Harold was talking about 3-0 teams, and, you know, like the Bears, that have questions at quarterback. Do any others? We'll look at that a little bit. That's another reason why it seems so unlikely, and that there are still questions. I mean, I think we know who the quarterback is going forward, but can Nick Foles continue to do what he did yesterday? His best role is to come in and save the day and to play in short spurts. Like Yurko just said, the Bears have 13 more of these, and then maybe the playoffs. Can he continue to do this? 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko, and we're going to go all the way till 2 today.
That's right.
Greeny will be back tomorrow, noon to 2. But there's just so much happening with The playoffs starting this week, and the Cubs and Sox in, and of course, all the big Bears news. Are they changing permanently to Nick Foles? Bears are 3-0, and when you look at the rest of the undefeated teams, you know, you don't have quarterback questions. That's what's so crazy, Eric, right? So Buffalo, 3-0. Impressive, I got to say. I mean, they used to win in spite, I guess you'd say, of Josh Allen. Now they're winning because of him, right? I mean, is he real? He's like what we all hoped for with Mitch. The big arm and the ability to scramble. Can he figure out how to play quarterback in this league? Because through Josh Allen's first 2 years, didn't complete a lot of passes. It was, you know, like
he did more with his feet than he did with his arm.
Now, oh my goodness,
he's doing more with his arm than he is with his feet.
Like that, why can't Mitch make that jump? Like Josh Allen's starting to make it. So no questions right now about the quarterback in Buffalo, right? They're 3-0 with the quarterback that's playing well.
Yeah. Oh no, they seem fine.
Pittsburgh Steelers, you know,
Ben Roethlisberger, they're fine.
You're good.
Yes,
they're 3-0. Titans, I'm not a huge Tannehill fan, but you got to admit, Tanny's played pretty well for them.
And they're winning those games. What's his name? Derrick Henry finally scored some touchdowns on the ground here. So they were winning some games. He had to be doing something.
So not crazy about the quarterback there, but okay, 3-0. There's no question.
They've got a nice defense.
They do.
Yeah.
He's the quarterback. Kansas City Chiefs, 2-0, could be 3-0 after tonight, maybe be 2-1. We'll see if they're still undefeated through 3 weeks. Are there any questions about the Chiefs?
No.
No.
No questions about the Chief.
I'll tell you a funny story about my wife. So I told her, you know, hey, Yerk and I are working a couple extra hours. Just live for like logistical purposes. I said, hey, FYI, I'm going to be home later. It's a big day tomorrow.
Big day tomorrow.
Yeah, Yerk and I are working two extra hours. She said, why is it such a big day? I said, hey, you know, Bears rally. My wife doesn't care about sports. She doesn't watch. I said, well, the Bears rallied, and they're 3-0.
Nick Foles is taking
over. And I
said,
and Trubisky got benched. And she said, who's Trubisky again? I said, the quarterback. Honey, come on. She goes, oh, yeah. And she said, why is that a big deal? I said, well, you know, because now this guy, Nick Foles, and I was trying to explain the legend of Foles, the whole thing. You know, I said, and, you know, plus where Mitch was drafted, I said, it's going to be an all-time, you know, flub.
Yeah, baseball teams.
What do you mean? And I said, well, Mitch was drafted. Now, she barely knows who Mitch Trubisky is. I said, well, you know, he was drafted ahead of this guy, Patrick Mahomes. She goes, oh, he was? Jeez. That was her reaction. So even she knows. She barely knows Mitch Trubisky, but she hears Patrick Mahomes, and she knows. She knows our son's got a Mahomes jersey.
She doesn't know crap about sports.
Nothing. And she goes, oh, he was?
They took him in front of Mahomes?
And she goes, jeez. Yeah. I mean, like, even, you know, like, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Sorry.
Well, he's got Roquan Smith. That's
Ryan's got Roquan. All right. The other undefeateds, Packers. No questions about the quarterback. He's on a scorched earth mission. That's it. I mean, they look unstoppable.
He's upset,
and they're going to come back at some point. Like they're not going to score 37 every week.
Right.
But
they'll
like,
level out. They'll find their level.
We were hard on the Packers last year. Like I kept saying, this is a team that's been outgained.
13-3.
They're not like I said. They're
went
not
to
as
the
good.
NFC Championship
right, I know.
Game.
I'm not knocking them now.
Yeah.
This looks legit, folks. Like, that offense right now looks unstoppable.
And they don't play until later in the year.
And they played with Devontae Adams last night.
Yeah.
Hamstring
injury.
Like, that
Lazard
offense.
Lazard had 136
dude, well,
yards.
When he's dropping dimes the way he is,
and
Aaron Jones is the monster he is, that offense looks unstoppable. And he's on a mission.
I'm still waiting for Aaron Jones maybe to sprain an ankle so I can get Jamal Williams a chance to maybe see the field.
And then the other undefeated team, we're not counting the Bears, obviously. We're talking about all the others and how the Bears look so different. Seattle. And again, the quarterback is the MVP of the league in the first 3 weeks. So there's no questions about the quarterback there. So how can the Bears, I mean, like, how have they gotten to this point? It's improbable, as we keep explaining. Can they keep winning games like this? Can Nick Foles make the difference for this offense? 312-332 ESPN. Let's see. Where should we go next? Keaton's been holding a while, and then I want to get an O-line question in for Yerk. But let's go to Keaton in Iowa. What up, Keaton?
Hey, how we doing today, boys?
Good. How are you?
Good. So going back to that first play to Calvin Ridley, I don't think it would have mattered if Riz would have reviewed it anyway, because it seemed like there's a bunch of Giants fans and working in New York who couldn't get a call for the life of us. My God.
Luckily, it didn't come back to haunt him, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, but, I mean, he should have been in that position in the first place. The reason I called was I thought that Eddie Jackson played one of the poorer games of his career.
Yeah.
First of all, letting Ridley get behind him, and then on that Brian Hill touchdown run, he bought that counter fake like it was oceanfront property in Arizona.
Yep.
God dang.
I know.
The other one he had was he didn't come fill the gap on the Gurley The Gurley run where Gurley squirted outside for about a 17-yard touchdown?
No. It was even shorter than that.
Okay, well, it's Eddie Jackson's hold of film. Was it 13 yards?
Yerk, I tweeted at you because Jonathan Vilma on the broadcast said, and I always want, I totally defer to all you guys, right? But I looked at that play right away and I went, geez, Eddie, come on, man. And Jonathan Vilma said, well, you know, Todd Gurley in the hole there, one-on-one on Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson has no chance. I tweeted you right away. I said, Eddie Jackson didn't have a chance on that play. This is not a safety in the open field.
Right.
One-on-one against Austin Eckler. And you'd say, well, you really put the safety in a bad spot. He's got no chance. Did Eddie Jackson have, am I crazy?
No.
Did Eddie Jackson have a chance on that play?
Eddie Jackson squared up and sat too early. He needed to go up and take the option away. He's coming in that hole. There's no other hole.
That's the hole.
You need to get up further. 3 yards further into that hole. Instead of squatting down, 3 yards further, and then you get a little bit of a squat. You squat with a little chatter of the legs so you can move with them, but then there's nowhere to move. Because the further he could go, he could clear the defensive line, the linebacker traffic to get to Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson needed to be Troy Polamalu at that time and really get up there and make an impact on that run.
I'm glad I wasn't wrong on that then because I saw it and thought, boy, Eddie.
Right. But Eddie made the mistake of being where he was, which made things a little bit more difficult for him.
That was a 10-yard touchdown run.
10-yard?
I mean, I thought...
Felt like a 17-yarder.
I thought that's a play that... Eddie Jackson's the third highest paid safety in this league.
You got to make that play.
Eddie Jackson's got to make that play.
Yeah, he stopped too early. He squatted too early. And then you let him dictate what was going to happen. You come in there, then you square up when you've got left and right covered.
And like tackling,
and it could have been there at that point.
Eddie's more the ball hawk, the center fielder, the free, like, and I get all that. I mean, like, this has never been his strong suit, but you know, he's not the strong safety playing in the box. But still, like, you're the third or fourth highest paid safety in the league. Eddie's good enough. Like, you got to make that play.
You need to make that.
That's a play that's got to get
made. That play's got to be made.
James is in Wheaton on ESPN 1000. What's up, James?
Wheaton. Hey, everything's good. How's everything with you guys?
Very good.
Great.
Good question for Yurko here. There's a couple narratives that I wanted to figure out what the intersection was here. So it looked like in the second and third quarter, Trubisky got sacked a couple times. And it seemed like the secondary, Darqueze Dennard, was the best one defending Allen Robinson. He goes down with an injury. And then, you know, obviously Allen Robinson lights up Atlanta. Is it the offensive line that was struggling in the second, third quarter and they shaped up in the fourth? Is it Mitchell Trubisky's indecisiveness? He held on the ball too long? Or is it just Darqueze Dennard's injury that allowed Robinson to go off?
Little 34 was out of the game.
Dennard was still in the game late. How many plays did Dennard miss? Dennard was making plays into the fourth quarter.
Right. So I don't know exactly when he ended up going out of the game. I didn't notice him leaving the game. Offensive line-wise, Whitehair, they took their turns having bad plays. Bobby Massey had a couple of bad plays. But when you're out there for 70 plays, you're going to have a couple minuses. You just hope they're not catastrophic.
Yeah, a lot of
Charles Leno had a holding call, brought a nice positive play back. Trubisky's problems are his problems. Do you understand? They're his problems to own. It's not the offensive line that's struggling that's going to cause Mitch Trubisky. Quarterbacks are getting rushed all over the NFL. You know, quarterbacks are being rushed all over the NFL. They're under pressure. They've got to perform under pressure. It's not unique to Chicago that a pass rush is trying to come after.
Russell Wilson was sacked 4 times yesterday.
Yes, and on the blitz, they'll get you. And you got to recognize the blitz, and you got to be able to adjust. The one time the sack had, here's the perfect play, Bobby Massey. So what I always tell you about offensive line play, big on big, right?
Big on big, yeah.
Big on big. The offensive lineman has got the big guy. The running back gets the blitzer. So what happens? Massey's got his guy.
Oh, yeah, you're
then he goes
him.
Off to the blitzer.
Yeah.
And the running back, Montgomery, was going out to the blitzer.
Yes.
Massey then lets the guy go. He gets the sack, and they're looking at each other with their hands up. What's going on?
Yeah.
You touch a guy, he's your guy. Okay, and at that point, he was the defensive lineman. The guy coming off the corner's got to be the running back. And the running back will adjust, and he'll get there.
And David Montgomery did
you
do the right thing,
leave.
Right?
Yeah. Big on big. Remember that. Big on big.
By the way, 82 snaps yesterday, and the O-line played them all, all five. Like Yerk said, you play 82, you're going to have
you're going to have
minuses.
Some bad plays.
And so you just hope you limit
those. I had the minus on the holding penalty. I never liked to see that. Whitehair was in the back. What, is that his name, Cody Whitehair?
Yeah.
He's in the backfield. It's not good. They had some blitzes coming up the middle. Now, whether a Fetty or whether Daniels or whoever, Daniels seems to be spirited this year. He's running down on a lot of plays. When there's fumbles, he's around the pile, so he seems to be spirited. But I think the philosophy in the offensive line that they use now, the big scoop plays where they're up, down on these guys, I think this team enjoys doing that. And then if you could sprinkle a little power O into the game, sprinkle a little bit of power O in the game.
All right, back to the phones coming up, and we'll continue to play a little bit more sound for you too. Just sprinkle in some of the, you know, the players from yesterday,
the highlights.
Nick Foles talking about coming in and saving the day, and his expectations going forward. The Bears are a small underdog, about a 2.5 or 3 point underdog.
And I'll tell you where the Bears caught a break. The Bears caught a break yesterday.
All right, we'll find out about that next.
Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma, Fox yesterday. The Bears complete the comeback. They win 30-26, and they move to 3-0 for the first time since 2013. Unfortunately, they missed the playoffs that year. They went 8-8 that season after starting 3-0, the first under Mark Trestman. They had a chance late, a couple of games. They lost them both, and the rest is history. And by the next year, it was a complete disaster, and the wheels had come off, and they had a clean house. So here we are all these years later. Bears are 3-0 with what would appear to be a pretty good chance to go back to the playoffs again, although their schedule does get very tough. They've got the Colts this weekend. Colts look good after that opening weekend loss on the road at Jacksonville, although it's a little hard to tell yesterday when you're picking off Sam Darnold and beating the Jets. It's like, really? But they are an underdog, the Bears. And then, you know what happens a week from Thursday, don't you, Yurko? 1 week from this Thursday?
1 week from this Thursday. Boy, do I know what happens on Thursday?
How about the doozy for this Thursday night, by the way, ladies and gentlemen? You ready?
Yeah, it's horrific.
You ready for
it? Go ahead, give it to them.
Broncos, Jets, 0-6.
I mean, how
That's
do
a
you,
lot to you.
How do you survive as a television?
Because it's football.
Network. I mean, how
it'll
do you survive?
It'll beat anything on TV that night. There will be playoff baseball. Is there an NBA Finals game on Thursday? One of the
there
finals.
There could be, yeah.
Okay? It'll beat everything on TV, right? And it's the Broncos and the Jets who are 0-6, and their two coaches might be about to get fired. But a week from Thursday to kick off week 5, Nick versus Tom again. It's Bears and Bucks at Soldier Field. It's a rematch of, what was that, Super Bowl 50? Which Super Bowl was that? I'm trying to remember now.
I don't know.
That was 49.
That was impressive.
51, because it wasn't 50 the Panthers and the Broncos.
I don't remember now. Yeah, maybe it was Super Bowl 51. Does that sound right? Whatever it was. It's a rematch of the Super Bowl from a few years ago. It's Nick Foles, we assume will be the starter. Who the hell knows, against Tom Brady. What was the break the Bears caught? You teased that before the break.
Oh, yeah, they caught a break. Remember, the Akeem Hicks sack.
Yes.
Where he actually sacked him to force the field goal attempt from distance that was a little bit further, and it was wide right.
Yes.
Or, you know, he had pulled it wide left. If you notice, when he wraps him up with the offensive lineman in his chest, he goes and kind of clubs down on him, and he hit his helmet. And when I saw it, I'm like, and Jerome Boger's the referee. I'm like, they're going to call contact to the head on that. Mm. They're going to, you know, he ducked down and tried to duck.
That's
into
first
his
down
offensive
then, right?
Lineman. Yeah. I'm like, I swear to the heavens, with the way this game's been going, that's going to be called hitting the quarterback, unsportsmanlike conduct, whatever it is. And it didn't happen. I was like, thank heavens. Finally, the Bears caught a break.
Bears Monday is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Demetrius is on the south side with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Hey, Demetrius.
Happy Football Monday, fellas. How you guys doing?
Great. How
We're
are you,
doing
buddy?
Great.
Yes, I was just referring to the Nick Foles, like, for the wherewithal for him to tell Anthony Miller, like, look, I'm going to take this hit. You just make it to the L, and I'm going to just give it to you. Now, not only does Mitch can't do, like, Mitch has to process the offense, the defense, but Mitch don't have the intangibles to tell his receivers that. And, like, Matt Nagy knows he's a quarterback. He knew, and kudos to Matt Nagy for standing up to Ryan Pace to let him know, like, your man's just not it. And one more question I wanted to ask Yurko, like, if the Bears would have lost that game, like, at what point, as you being in the NFL locker room, like you say, the players know, like, when the other guys can't do it? At what point does they come to the coach and just say, look, Mitch cannot get the job done? And one thing Nick Foles is doing, and hopefully what he can do is to help our receivers get better, and hopefully we can see Riley Whitley hit the field and let him help our receivers progress.
Yeah, Demetrius, that was probably already happening. And that happens, and it goes through the assistant coaches first. Like, if I was going to lob, you know, something up to send it up the tower without going to talk to Mike Holmgren directly, I'd tell Greg Bosch.
Yeah.
Say, Greg, we all know that this guy's the best quarterback. What are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, and then Greg would say, let me settle it down. When they'd get together, he'd say, hey, you know, there's a feeling that we should go with the next quarterback.
So that happens.
Yeah. And when it happened in Green Bay, nobody thought Brett was ready to take over for Mikowski. They still thought Mikowski was the better guy. Mikowski got hurt, had to put Brett in there, and then Brett brought him back in that game against the Cincinnati Bengals. So then it didn't matter. Now he was bringing the same type of excitement Nick Foles brought to that team.
Right.
He did it, though. Foles brought to that team what he brought to us. Only he did it one final play on a 95-yard drive where he hit Kittrick Taylor down the right side. Hmm. Nick Foles had to do more.
Yeah.
And he did do more.
Down 16.
And good for the Bears. Good for the Bears. Kid, this is good stuff. When the Bears win, this town is a nice town. It's a great town.
Did you think Nagy was going to pull him?
No. No. Somebody asked me. Hey, you think? No, my son ain't going to pull him. And then he goes, Yerk, when are they going to finally pull him? I go, he's in the game. I go, now he's in the game. They pulled him. He's in the game.
Were you surprised Matt Nagy yanked him yesterday? 312-332-3776. We'll grab more of your calls. Again, we're going to be here for an extra 2 hours.
Right.
Greeny's going to be back tomorrow. We're going to go all the way to Waddle and Sylvie at 2. We'll crosstalk with the guys a couple hours from now, so we'll look forward to that. Start to get their thoughts on this 3-0 Bears team, as improbable as it is. So lots of local programming to go throughout the rest of the day. Big day with the Foles-Trubisky stuff, Bears 3-0, the White Sox and the Cubs about to embark on a very different playoff season, but a playoff season nonetheless.
Cubs at home.
Major League Baseball.
White Sox on the road to Oakland Alameda County Stadium.
Boy, a place that's been a house of horrors. I said horrors.
What'd you say? Horrors.
That place has been a nightmare for them over the years. My goodness. And now they got to go face a pretty good Oakland team in the best of three. So, yeah, we're going to be here all the way until 2, then Waddle and Sylvie, and then Bleck and Abdallah a little bit later. So we got a lot of time for your phone calls. We'll take some more when we come back next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Yeah.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Remember to watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can check us out in studio. Here was Mitch Trubisky yesterday when asked after the game if his play warranted getting yanked out of that one in Atlanta.
I mean, it's always one game at a time. What I did the first week and the second week doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter was we weren't doing too well in the first half, and coach felt like making a change and taking me out would help us do better. And the only thing I can control is me playing better. And when I had those reps in the first half, and I didn't do that. So I gave him the opportunity to pull me. He did. And it is what it is. So you just got to move forward, accept it, and continue to be a great teammate. But it's just a tough deal sometimes.
And here's Mitch. What is that mindset going forward now?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just going to approach practice, trying to perfect my craft, trying to get better. Always being there for my teammates, and this is still a team first game. So whoever is first, Nick's the starter going forward. That it is what it is, and I got to have his back just like he had mine. So it's always team first. And but while we're at practice, I got to just continue to get better, work on my craft, and make sure I'm pushing my teammates because I'm still a leader on this team, and I feel like guys still look at me. So when bad stuff happens, you just gotta roll with the punches and keep battling through and. We did that in the second half, and I'm proud of the guys for battling back and finding a way to win, and that's how I'm going to attack practice. Just keep trying to get better and try to bring a positive attitude every day.
All right, so there's some of Trubisky. You'll hear from Nick Foles, who we presume will be the new starting quarterback, even though it's not totally official yet, coming up after noon. Yeah, Yurko and I are going to stay all the way till 2 today, in case you missed that news. Greeny will be back tomorrow with his show at noon. 312-332-3776. This is George in Old Town. What's up, George?
I wanted to answer your question about can Nick Foles be a starter. I mean, wasn't he the starter for the last, I don't know how many games, when they won the world championship against New England? He's got a career rating of 90, almost 96 as a passer rating. And in the playoffs, I think it's in the hundreds. There's no question that he should be the quarterback. In my mind, he's able to fit the ball in and take it off and air it in. At 6'7", he opens up so much more on the offense. Is there any decision, guys?
We thought there should have been any decision coming into the season.
Right.
You know, and
you're asking the wrong guys.
Right. You're asking the wrong. We thought it should have been from the jump, from the get-go.
But when we say
we were skeptical when we heard Mitch Trubisky was going to be the starter and that he earned it during practice because nobody was there. We weren't there, I should say. Carmen and I never got a chance to sit down and watch it with our own eyes.
No.
Now, we've had Weeder on. We've had others on that said, yes, that's the way it was. And you've got to take their words for it. I mean, they're professionals, right, Carm?
Yeah.
I mean, they're offering their honest, candid opinion on what they saw.
I think the Bears were hoping at some point when they made the trade that, look, when they made the trade, you got to admit, most of us thought back in March, like, okay, it'll be 6 weeks and then we'll all be good. Didn't happen that way. I think in the Bears' minds, they would have had a mini camp of some sort, an OTA, something.
An exhibition game.
Yeah, right, and Nick would have unquestionably won the job.
Right.
Nick Foles got here without throwing a single pass to any of his teammates on the Chicago Bears in August. What was the first practice? August 17th, something like that? Wasn't it? What was the first practice? August 10th?
August 17th. That first padded practice.
Okay. He hadn't thrown a pass to a teammate until August 17th. They started the season 3 weeks ago. I mean, under normal circumstances, in their minds, there would have been no question. Nick Foles would have been the starting quarterback.
They did go to camp in the end of July, and they were throwing passes to each other, but just with no pads on. The first padded practice was August 17th.
And when we questioned, can Nick Foles be the starter long-term, he's never started a full season. You know, our last caller, George, was referencing that magical run with Philly. He started three games.
And then went to the playoffs.
And then the playoffs, but yeah. Carson Wentz got hurt in December.
And that
Nick's never had to play 16 games. He's never been able to.
A late game injury, too.
Yes.
That was one where he ran into the end zone and got hit from both sides. He ended up tearing his ACL.
It was the Rams game. Yeah. You're right. It was December, late in the game, when Carson Wentz got hurt and he tore his ACL. Foles came in to play the last three games. In the end, he was great in the playoffs. We know that he can get on a heater, but he's never been able to do it for 16 games. That's the question. The most games Nick Foles has ever started in a season is 11, and that was one of his worst years. He had the great year where he started 10 games for Chip Kelly in his second year. A couple years later in St. Louis, he started 11 games. He went 4-7 with 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Oh, and that quarterback rating that George was talking about for his career, as impressive as it is, 69.
That's all it is.
In the year he had to play 11 games. So when we say there's nothing in Nick Foles' history that says he can play even 13 games now and be great, there's nothing in Nick Foles' history that says he can start 13 games and be great.
So at some point, Mitch is probably going to have to come in here and perform.
I hope Nick can, but we're just going off of what reality is, what we've seen, what he has and has not produced.
When the Bears last went to the Super Bowl, it was against the Indianapolis Colts, right? Up to that point, Rex Grossman, and even after that, in subsequent years, Rex Grossman never played 16 games.
It was the only year, right?
And that year, he played 16 games.
He didn't even play it that well. I mean, he was okay. That's the year you lost the bet to
yes.
Harry.
I remember.
Oh, my goodness. And you paid him in quarters?
That's the year that OC called JD and told him that...
Oh, God.
What's his name was going to play a quarter or he was going to start. JD went the news that Rex Grossman was going to start. How'd they find that information out? And then our guy ended up not working for Fox or for CBS at the time or whoever he was working
Fox,
for.
Fox, yeah. That year, that's the only year, 2006, that Rex Grossman started 16 games. Yurko's right.
It was.
He completed 55% of his passes, 23 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. People think like Grossman, that's a great year.
People thought Grossman was a phenomenal player.
He completed 55% of his passes.
Well, what are you going to do, Carl?
Let's grab one more and then we'll take a break.
Yeah.
Bob's in Sleepy Hollow. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. One of the most things I saw yesterday when Foles came in was his command of the line of scrimmage. You know, he's like the good quarterbacks get up there and they wait until there's like 1 second or less than 1 second left, and you can see him read the defense. You know, that clearly is different than, you know, Mitch would snap at the 12 or 13 seconds left.
Well, he gets up there and he's going to put his team in the best position he can. I heard him check one time to a 45, and it was a play, run play to the left. Then he went to it another time. He just said 4-5, 4-5, and they ran a pass play out of it. So when you get enough of that, you hear it. The stuff that they're saying is audible. You try to pick up on anything, and you couldn't really pick up on it. And he's looking for what he needs to identify, whether it's the strong safety, where he's going to be, whether he could see somebody cheating or not cheating. He's trying to get himself a little bit. They'll hold, they'll hold, they'll hold, then they'll back out and they'll bail.
He knows the offense, right? That's one thing we're pretty sure about.
Right.
A lot of questions about Nick Foles, but he knows
he's
the offense.
He's got a command of this offense.
Yes. Yeah.
This offense, this particular one. Yes.
He knows Nagy, and he knows this offense extremely well. And, again, that's probably the reason they went out and got him. You know, we could talk about Cam Newton a lot. I mean, they're 2-1, and he's looked impressive.
Hey, listen,
you know,
hit the 7 route. It was fantastic. The double post, the one that he threw to Anthony Miller for a touchdown, go to the L.
Yeah.
A lot of nice balls were thrown yesterday. He underthrew a couple early. He's trying to get it all going. But
all right. What are your reasonable expectations now for Nick Foles? Are you happy that Nagy made the move? And did you think he was going to do it? Super Bowl, Super Bears, Super Bears, Super Bowl. 312-332-3776. Plus, is the Catman already jumping on the Nick Foles bandwagon?
Oh, not the winds of change. They are a blow.
We've got some sound that's interesting for you next. We're back in 2 minutes.